إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، so in today's lecture, as you are aware, we're going to discuss the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma. The hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, where he said, قال كنت خلف رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال. He said, I was behind the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, meaning on a riding animal. And he said to me, Ya ghulam, inni u'allimuka kalimat. That, oh boy, I will teach you some words. Ihfadillaha yahfadak. Guard over the rights of Allah, and Allah will guard over you. Ihfadillaha tajidhu tujahak. Guard over the rights of Allah, and you will find Allah in front of you. إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ. If you ask, then ask from Allah. وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. And if you seek assistance and aid, then seek it from Allah. وَاعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةَ لَوْ اجْتَمَعَتْ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَنْفَعُوكَ بِشَيْءٍ. And know that if all of the ummah got together to benefit you with something, to do something good for you, لَمْ يَنْفَعُوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ لَكَ. They would not be able to benefit you except if it was something Allah had decreed for you. وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعُوا. And if they all got together, عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَضُرُّوكَ بِشَيْءٍ, to harm you with something, to do some wrong to you. If all of the people got together to do some wrong to you, لَمْ يَضُرُّكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ. They would not be able to do any harm to you unless it was something Allah had decreed upon you. رُفِعَتِ الْأَقْلَامِ وَجَفَّتِ الصُّحُفِ. The pens have been raised and the pages are dry, meaning the decree has been written. وَفِي رِوَايَةِ غَيْرِ التِّرْمِذِي. And in another narration of the same hadith, احفظِ الله تجده أمامك. تعرف إلى الله في الرخاء يعرفك في الشدة. واعلم أن ما أخطأك لم يكن ليصيبك وما أصابك لم يكن ليخطئك. واعلم أن النصر مع الصبر وأن الفرج مع الكرب وأن مع العسر يسرا. That guard over the rights of Allah and you will find Allah in front of you. And we'll explain that shortly. Know Allah, meaning be connected to Allah and return to Allah in times of difficulty, and Allah will be in your aid in times of ease. Recognize and return to Allah in times of ease, and Allah will be in your aid in times of difficulty. And know that whatever did not occur to you, then it was not going to be for you. Whatever did not occur, then it was not decreed for you. And whatever did overcome you and occur, then it was never going to miss you. What occurred to you, then certainly it occurs to you. It was not something which was going to miss you. And that which did not occur for you, then certainly that is not something that was supposed to occur for you. Meaning the decree is as the decree is. And know that victory comes with patience, and that ease or a way out, it comes after difficulty, and that ease and facilitation comes after hardship. This is the narration of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, who was the son of the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Shaykh Al-Fawzan, hafidhahu Allah ta'ala, says, هذا الحديث عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما ابن عم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. This is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما, who was the son of the uncle of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. وقد كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يدعو له, and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to make dua for ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما. ويقول, and he used to say, اللهم فقهه في الدين وعلمه التأويل. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make dua for Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, and he used to say, oh Allah, give him knowledge of the religion and give him knowledge and understanding of tafsir. Give him knowledge of the religion and understanding of tafsir. فَكَانَ آيَةً مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ فِي الْعِلْمِ وَفِي الْفِقْهِ. And so it is mentioned regarding Ibn Abbas that he was a sign, meaning that he was somebody great in his knowledge and in his fiqh. Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما was known to be someone great in his knowledge, in his understanding, in his fiqh. في تفسير القرآن, in the tafsir of the Qur'an, he was known to be somebody extreme, or rather somebody high in that knowledge. Known to be somebody high in that level of knowledge regarding the tafsir of the Qur'an. حَتَّى لُقِّبَ بِتَرْجُمَانِ الْقُرْآنِ. To the extent that he was given the title, the interpreter of the Qur'an. He was given that title known as the interpreter of the Qur'an, due to his vast knowledge of tafsir. وَحَبْرِ الْأُمَّةِ. And he was known as the scholar of the ummah. The scholar of the ummah due to his detailed knowledge. Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما. وَكَانَ طِفْلًا صَغِيرًا فِي عَهْدِ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم. And he was a young child. He was a young boy at the time of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. توفي الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو لم يبلغ الحلم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم died and he was still at the young age, not reaching a higher age in the number of years. ومع هذا أعطاه الله هذا العلم الغزير وهذا الفهم العظيم ببركة دعوة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. But despite that, despite the fact that Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما was very young in age at that time, very young in age when he was with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, despite that, Allah gave him this vast amount of knowledge, gave him this vast amount of understanding, and that is from the blessings of Allah upon him through the dua of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم for him. So that is Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما, who is narrating this hadith. So he says, Ibn Abbas, that he was riding with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sitting behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the riding animal. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, Ya ghulam, O boy, meaning it's a term that you would use to address somebody young in age. Al-ghulam huwa saghir, that is somebody young in age, that's one of the meanings of it. So the Prophet ﷺ was addressing Ibn Abbas, who was young in age. So he said to him, Ya ghulam, وَهَذَا فِيهِ دَلِيلٌ عَلَى الْعِنَايَةِ بِالصِّغَارِ وَتَوْجِيهِهِمْ. This has within it an evidence that you have to give importance to the young ones and to give them the direction and the guidance that they require. Here the Prophet ﷺ was addressing Ibn Abbas, who was young at the time, directing him and giving him the advice and the guidance regarding the affairs of the religion. So importance must be given to the young, as Shaykh Al-Fawzan mentions here as a benefit there. So the Prophet ﷺ said to him, إِنِّي أُعَلِّمُكَ كَلِمَاتِ, that I will teach you some words. I will teach you some small words, some simple words. But as it is known from the Prophet ﷺ that he was given جَوَامِعُ الْكَلِمِ, that he would speak with a few words, yet they had great meanings behind them. Even though the actual words may only be a few, the meanings behind them were magnificent. So, إني أعلمك كلمات كلمات يعني يسيرة لكنها كلمات جوامع لأن كلمات الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم ليست ككلمات غيره وهذا فيه أن العلم يؤخذ شيئا فشيئا يؤخذ كلمات يسيرة أول شيء ثم ينمو ويزداد وليس يؤخذ العلم دفعة واحدة. Then Sheikh Al-Fawzan, he says also that one of the benefits from here you can see in the hadith is that knowledge is to be sought step by step, section by section, bit by bit. Here the Prophet ﷺ said to Ibn Abbas, I will teach you some simple few words. Not a vast amount all in one go, but rather slowly, section by section, part by part, that I will teach you some small words, some easy words now that you will learn. Then he said to him, احفظ الله يحفظك. Guard over the rights of Allah, i.e. the religion of Islam in practicing it, and Allah will guard over you. احفظ الله يعني احفظ دينه. Guard over Allah, meaning guard over the rights of Allah, the religion of Allah. احفظ الله بفعل أوامره وترك نواهيه. Guard over the rights of Allah by fulfilling the obligations upon you and from staying away from the prohibitions. وَاحْفَظْ مَحَارِمَ اللَّهِ بِاجْتِنَابِهَا. And guard over the prohibitions. How do you guard yourself from the prohibitions? By staying away from them. This is what it is meant when the Prophet ﷺ said to Ibn Abbas, guard over the rights of Allah, i.e. the rights that have been prescribed upon you, the obligations that are upon you to perform, perform them. And the prohibitions that you have been warned from, then stay away from them. هَذَا حِفْظُ اللَّهِ. This is guarding over the rights of Allah. لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ جَلَّ وَعَلَى لَا يَحْتَاجُ إِلَى حِفْظٍ هُوَ الَّذِي يَحْفَظُ النَّاسِ وَيَحْفَظُ الْخَلْقَ وَالْكَوْنِ إِنَّمَا الْمُرَادُ أَنَّهُ يَحْفَظُ دِينَ اللَّهِ. So when the hadith says guard over Allah, as the wording is exactly, that doesn't mean that Allah is in requirement of our guardianship. Of course not. The meaning of that narration is guard over the rights of Allah, i.e. the commandments and the prohibitions upon you. Otherwise it is Allah who guards over all of the creation, not the fact that the creation guards over Allah. Allah guards over all of the creation. So here the hadith means to guard over the rights, the commandments and the prohibitions. So when the Prophet ﷺ said, احفظ الله هذا من قبل العبد, guard over the rights of Allah, that's your responsibility. يحفظك, Allah will guard over you, that is from Allah, then upon you. The first part is your responsibility, you guard over the rights of Allah. The next part of the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, that Allah will guard over you, that is then the protection of Allah upon you. فَهُوَ جَزَاءٌ وَالْجَزَاءُ مِنْ جِنْسِ الْعَمَلِ. So that is your recompense. That is what you gain or what you are given from Allah. If you guard over the rights of Allah, then Allah guards over you. And they say, أَلْجَزَاءٌ مِنْ جِنْسِ الْعَمَلِ. Meaning that your recompense is from the nature of the act itself. What you do, then you get your recompense upon that same way. So you guard over the rights of Allah, then Allah will guard over you. You protect the barriers, you perform the halal, you stay away from the haram, then Allah will guard over you as a consequence of you guarding over the rights of Allah. فَإِذَا حَفِظْتَ اللَّهَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَحْفَظُكَ مِمَّا تَكْرَهُ فِي دِينِكَ وَدُنْيَاكَ. So if you guard over the rights of Allah, the Shaykh says, then Allah will guard you and protect you from that which you hate and that which you dislike in your religious and your worldly affairs. Whatever your affairs may be, that which you dislike and that which you do not want, then Allah will guard you and protect you against those affairs. If you guard and protect over the rights that are upon you, فَهَذِهِ ثَمَرَةُ حِفْظِ اللَّهِ وَحِفْظِ أَوَامِرِهِ وَنَوَاهِهِ. This is therefore the fruits of guarding over and protecting the rights that are upon you from Allah. ثم قال صلى الله عليه وسلم احفظ الله. Then the Prophet ﷺ said again, guard over the rights of Allah. Second time now, to emphasize that matter, to emphasize it further, guard over the rights of Allah. So he said, احفظ الله, هذا تأكيد, تجده تجاهك. Then you will find Allah in your direction. You will find Allah in front of you. يحفظك وهذه تجده تجاهك يعني أمامك. وفي رواية, الرواية ثانية, the second narration that we saw, تجده أمامك, بمعنى أن الله جل وعلا قريب من عباده سبحانه وتعالى, وأيضا هو جل وعلا يبادر إلى مثوبة عباده, كما في الحديث من تقرب إلي شبرا تقربت إليه ذراعا ومن أتاني يمشي أتيته هرولا. The meaning of this, that you will find Allah in your direction, you will find Allah in front of you if you guard over the rights of Allah, meaning that Allah is close to His servants and Allah rewards His servants upon their actions. And it is mentioned in the narration that if the servant comes close to me a handspan, then I come close to him an arm span. And if the servant comes to me walking, then I come to him with the movement that is quicker than walking, the running of sorts. So this indicates that Allah rewards the servants upon what they do, and Allah gives them their due recompense upon their actions. And that is the meaning of, you will find Allah in your direction in front of you, that you will be rewarded and you will be guarded over by Allah for the actions that you are performing in righteousness. بمعنى أن الله يبادر سبحانه يبادر بالإثابة لمن أطاعه. فحفظ الله جل وعلا له فائدتان. So therefore, guarding over the rights of Allah has two benefits. الأولى أن الله يحفظه. Firstly, that Allah guards over you and protects over you from the affairs that you dislike and you hate and you do not want to occur to you. الثانية أنك تجد الله قريبا منك. That you will find Allah close to you, meaning that Allah will reward you for your affairs and give you the recompense and guard over you. ثم قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إذا سألت فاسأل الله. If you ask, you make dua, then make that dua to Allah alone. إذا طلبت شيئا فاطلبه من الكريم المنان سبحانه الذي عنده خزائن السماوات والأرض ولا تسأل الناس وسؤال غير الله. نعم. So then he says, the Shaykh mentions, if you're going to ask, you're going to request something, then request and ask from Allah, the generous, the kind, who answers the dua of the one who calls upon Him. Call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the bestower, the one who bestows those du'as and supplications and answers them for His creation. He is the one who has all of the control of everything in the heavens and the earth. So do not ask the people, rather ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you require something, do not make your dua, your supplication to others besides Allah. And this is from the fundamentals of Tawheed itself, that asking others besides Allah can be, and it is, a form of shirk. That if a person was to go to the idols, go to the statues, go to the trees or the stones, all of that, asking others besides Allah is impermissible. You look at Kitab al-Tawheed of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah ta'ala, you'll find the chapters, Bab man tabarraka bi shajarin aw hajarin aw nahwihima, the one who seeks the blessings from a tree or a stone or other than that. Other chapters, Bab man ja'a fi ruqa wa tama'im, the chapters about the talismans and the necklaces people wear, any type of making your dua to others besides Allah, putting your trust and your dependence in others besides Allah, whether it's this great wali from the awliya, as they say, buried in his grave, or it is even somebody alive, the peer or the great wali, as they tell you, go to him, he'll wipe over you, etc., all of these things, asking others besides Allah, then that is not correct. Make your dua and return to Allah in your affairs. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma with. فهو سبحانه ينزل إلى سماء الدنيا كل ليلة حين يبقى ثلث الليل الآخر Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the lowest heaven when the last third of the night it remains. فَيَقُولْ مَنْ يَسْأَلُنِي فَأَعْطِيَهُ. Who is asking me and I will give it to him. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى. And Allah said in the Quran, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِي إِذَا دَعَانِ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. That if they ask you about me, the servants, my servants ask you about me, then indeed I am close and I answer the dua of the one who calls upon me. Allah answers the dua of the one who calls upon him. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. If you seek aid and assistance, then seek that aid and assistance in Allah. الْإِسْتِعَانَةُ طَلَبُ الْعَوْنِ. Seeking the aid and the assistance. قَالَ تَعَالَى إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone we worship and you alone we seek the aid and assistance from. So in that ayah, you are restricting your act of worship of seeking aid and assistance to Allah alone. That only in Allah you seek that aid and assistance. You do not go to the graves or to the other people or whomsoever, or the necklaces or the bands that the people they wear. Rather you return to Allah alone. So it is an act of worship. فَهِيَ نَوْعٌ مِنَ الْعِبَادَةِ وَعَطْفُهَا عَلَى الْعِبَادَةِ مِنْ عَطْفِ الْخَاصِ عَلَى الْعَامِ لِلِهْتِمَامِ بِهَا وَإِلَّا فَهُوَ نَوْعٌ مِنَ الْعِبَادَةِ. Here when you say إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, to you alone we worship, and you alone we seek the aid and assistance from. Seeking aid and assistance from Allah, is that an act of worship or not? It is. So why has it been mentioned specifically when you've already said, you alone we worship, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. You've already said, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, you alone we worship. But then you've mentioned this act of worship of seeking aid and assistance as well. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. This indicates the importance of this act of worship, to highlight that this must be specifically for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to show the importance of that affair. Otherwise, that is a type of worship. So that is a specific statement, whereas the first part, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, is general. وَالِاسْتِعَانَ مِثْلُ السُّؤَالِ. And seeking this aid and assistance, it is like asking. إِذَا كَانَتِ الْإِسْتِعَانَةُ بِالْمَخْلُوقِ فِيمَا لَا يَقْدِرُ عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ فَهِيَ شِرْكٌ أَكْبَرٌ. If you seek aid and assistance in somebody in creation for something that cannot be done except by Allah, then it is major shirk. وَإِنْ كَانَتِ الْإِسْتِعَانَةُ بِالْمَخْلُوقِ فِي شَيْءٍ يَقْدِرُ عَلَيْهِ فَهَذَا يَجُوزُ لَكِنْ تَرْكُهُ أَحْسَنُ لِأَنَّ فِيهِ ذِلَّةً وحاجة إلى الناس وكونك تستغني بالله عز وجل هذا أفضل لك. As for seeking help and assistance from others in something that they can help you in, they do have the ability, then it's allowed. However, still the Shaykh says, you should try to avoid having to ask others for aid and assistance and help in all of your affairs, because within that is a type of degrading yourself, to continuously have to be asking the people for this and for that. So it is better you avoid that. It's mentioned about some of the companions. Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned it, that if they were on their riding animal, on their horse or something, and their stick fell down, they wouldn't say to somebody, can you pass me the stick? They would come off the animal themselves and pick it up themselves, not wanting to have to ask people for help, or can you pass me that, can you do that? Do it yourself. This is what the Shaykh he mentions here. This is better. Then he mentions in the hadith, وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةَ لَوْ اجْتَمَعَتْ. يعني لَوْ اجْتَمَعَ الْخَلْقُ كُلُّهُمْ. If all of the creation, all of the ummah got together, everybody, عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَنْفَعُوكَ بِشَيْءٍ, to do something good for you, to benefit you in some way, لَمْ يَنْفَعُوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ لَكَ. They would not be able to do it unless it was something Allah had decreed for you. Even if all of the people with all of their ability, with all of their intelligence, with all of their capabilities, everything they have, resources, they came together to do something good for you, one person, they would not be able to unless that was something written in the decree for you. As it is mentioned, ما شاء الله كان وما لم يشاء لم يكن. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, will occur. And whatever Allah does not will, then it will not occur. So if all of the people came together to benefit you with something, they would not be able to do so unless it was written for you. إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ لَكَ أَيْ قَدَّرَهُ وَكَتَبَهُ لَكَ فِي اللَّوْحِ الْمَحْفُوظِ. That it is something decreed for you and written for you in the preserved tablet. وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعُوا عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَضُرُّوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَضُرُّوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ. And if all of the people got together with all of their resources, their capabilities, everything they have, they came together and they plotted and they planned to do something bad against you, to harm you in some way, then all of the people with their resources and whatever they have would not be able to do that unless it was something in the decree written upon you, that this harm or something you dislike was going to overcome you. If it was written, then so be it. But if it was not written for you, no matter how many of them come together to try to harm you, they would not be able to do so. So this is the importance of knowing the aqidah regarding the decree. فَهَذَا فِيهِ الْإِيمَانُ بِالْقَضَاءِ وَالْقَدْرِ. This now highlights to you the importance of your iman in the decree. وَأَنَّ النَّاسَ لَا يَقْدِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَنْفَعُوكَ أَوْ يَضُرُّوكَ إِلَّا بِمَا كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ لَكَ عَلَىٰ أَيْدِيهِمْ مِنْ نَفْعٍ أَوْ ضَرٍّ. فَهُمْ سَبَبٌ فَقَطْ. أَمَّا النَّافِعُ الضَّارُّ فَهُوَ اللَّهُ جَلَّ وَعَلَا. إِذَا أَمَرَهُمُ اللَّهُ نَفَعُوكَ وَإِذَا لَمْ يَأْمُرْهُمْ اللَّهُ لَمْ يَنْفَعُوكَ. وَإِذَا أَمَرَهُمْ ضَرُّوكَ فَعَلَيْكَ بِالْإِيمَانِ بِالْقَضَاءِ وَالْقَدَرِ. So you must have the iman in the decree. The people, no matter how many of them there are, they come together, they do whatever they do, they plan, they plot. They cannot benefit you, neither can they harm you, except with something which Allah has decreed for you. So do not fear the people, and do not fear the people or the jinn or these types of affairs. This is all in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why a person has his full trust and dependence in Allah and not in the people. And this is where a person learns the importance of patience. When you realize that the decree, that is the decree of Allah upon us, all of this creation and everything which occurs, the decree that was written 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth, كَتَبَ اللَّهُ مَقَادِيرَ الْخَلَائِقِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَخْلُقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بِخَمْسِينَ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote the decree 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth. And there's another narration where it mentions, أَوَّلَ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ الْقَلَمْ قَالَ لَهُ اكْتُبْ. When Allah created the pen, Allah said to it, write. قَالَ مَا أَكْتُبْ. The pen said, what shall I write? And then Allah said, everything, كُلُّ مَا هُوَ كَائِنٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. Everything which will occur until the day of judgment. So all of that is in the decree. All of that is written. So a person recognizes if this is the decree and all of that is written, then a person must have the patience when something may occur that you did not desire. Something occurs which you find as a hardship. Something occurs which you find as a burden upon yourself. Something which harms you. Then you must remain patient at those times. And that is one of the levels of patience, one of the types of patience. You have the three levels of patience. The patience upon the obedience to Allah, and the patience from staying away from the sins, and the patience ala aqdar Allah al-mu'lima, upon the decree of Allah that may be hard for you. Certain things may occur that are difficult upon you. And we know that this life is a test. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Allah, the one who created death and life, to test you. Which of you is the best in actions? So when those times occur or the difficulties occur, a person needs to recognize his iman in the decree of Allah. And that it is not the people, it is not this, it is not that. It is the people. It is not the people who will harm you or bring you benefit. Rather, all of that is only what is decreed by Allah. ثُمَّ قَالَ رُفِعَتِ الْأَقْلَامُ وَجَفَّتِ الصُّحُفِ. That the pens have been raised and the pages are dry. Meaning that the decree has been written. مَعَنَاهُ أَنَّ قَضَاءَ اللَّهِ قُدِّرْ وانتهى ولن يغير. That the decree of Allah has been written and it has been decreed and that has been done and it will not change. So all of that is written. Then in the second narration it added further points. تعرف إلى الله في الرخاء يعرفك في الشدة. That be close to Allah in times of ease. Because now often what do you find? When the people are relaxing, they're comfortable, their life is going good for them as they perceive it, then their connection to Allah may become weak. Their obedience, their supplication, their dua may become weak. Because they think everything is going good for them. Everything is going smooth as they want, alhamdulillah. So their dua to Allah, their returning to Allah, their supplication, their connection, their prayer, it becomes weak because they are so relaxed and comfortable with everything. Rather, here in the narration it says, at those times, when you find that the things are going as they please you, then still keep that good connection to Allah with the supplication, with the dua. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with your prayer, your obedience in those times of ease. And if you do that, then it mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be with you in your times of difficulty. When the hardship does come, when the difficulty does come, يَعْرِفْكَ فِي الشِّدَّةِ, then Allah will be close to you, meaning that Allah will then aid you and give you the way out in times of your difficulty. And that is if you remember and keep that obedience high and of the correct nature in times of your ease and comfort. Most people now, or many people at least, you find them that only in times of difficulty, when some hardship overcomes them, some difficulty overcomes them, then all of a sudden now they start to pray properly, they start to make dua regularly, they want this difficulty to be removed. But as soon as the ease comes and comfortable life comes, now all of a sudden the dua is forgotten, the supplication, the prayers, now they are relaxing. And this is a mistake, a grave error. Rather, remember Allah and be connected and be upon your worship in times of ease, and you will find the aid of Allah in times of difficulty. So the Shaykh mentions, يَعْرِفْكَ فِي الشِّدَّةِ يعني إِذَا وَقَعْتَ فِي خَطَرٍ وَفِي شِدَّةٍ وَأَنْتَ مُطِيعٌ لِلَّهِ فِي حَالَةِ الرَّخَاءِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُنْقِذُكَ بِأَعْمَالِكَ الصَّالِحَةِ. That if you find yourself in some danger or some severe situation, and you are somebody who is obedient to Allah and have been, even in the times of ease, then indeed Allah will protect you and save you via those good actions and obedience that you are upon. مِثْلُ حَدِيثِ أَصْحَابِ الصَّخْرَةِ. Just like the hadith regarding the individuals who were in the cave, and the rocket came in front of the cave and they were blocked inside the cave, and they couldn't come out of the cave. الذين انطبقت عليهم الصخرة في الغار ولم يستطيعوا الخروج. So they were not able to get out. ولما كانت لهم أعمال صالحة سابقة فرج الله عنهم فهذا توسل إلى الله ببره بوالديه وهذا توسل إلى الله جل وعلا بتركه الزنا خوفا من الله وهذا توسل إلى الله بأمانته وحفظه لأجرة الأجير الذي ترك أجرته عنده وذهب حفظها له ونماها فلما جاء أعطاه إياه ففرج الله عنهم. It is mentioned about those three individuals that when that difficulty occurred to them and the rocket covered the face of the cave and they were stuck inside and they could not get out, that they sought the dua, they made the dua to Allah by way of mentioning the good deeds that they did. So one of them mentioned how he had been pious to his parents, mentioned the piety that he had towards his parents, and he was. Another one mentioned regarding how he left the act of adultery or fornication when that was possible for him, but he left that and he stopped fearing Allah. So that was again an action of goodness. And another one mentioned regarding how he took care of faithfully and in trust the wages of one of the people until he came back and he had expanded those wages and that wealth for him. He had guarded that wealth for him. And so from that trustworthiness and faithfulness, he mentioned that good action. And as a consequence of this obedience that they had been upon, then Allah removed that rock and they were able to exit. So this Part of the narration explains how a person needs to be upon that obedience and needs to be upon that worship in times of ease, and not just to return back to Allah and make dua in times of difficulty. Then also it mentions in the narration, وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ النَّصْرَ مَعَ الصَّبْرِ. Know that indeed the victory, the aid, it comes at times of patience, or it comes with patience. The victory and the aid, it comes with patience. And that the way out, the escape from the difficulty, it comes after the difficulty has come. And that ease comes after the hardship has come. But before that, the Prophet ﷺ said, know that whatever has occurred to you, if something has occurred to you, then it was not going to miss you. It was decreed for you. And if something did not occur you wanted, but it didn't happen, then it wasn't supposed to occur for you. That is the decree. So when a person realizes that, he becomes content and he becomes satisfied with what occurs, as opposed to the people who don't realize that. So when they wanted something, they wanted something, but it didn't happen. So then they sit there depressed and despondent and thinking about it, and they start falling into the whisperings of the shaitan, and they start saying, if only I'd done this, if only I'd done that, if only I'd gone 10 minutes earlier, I would have picked up that prize myself, I would have got the whatever. They start to think in that way, and they open up the door to the shaitan. And the Prophet ﷺ warned against that. فَإِنَّ لَوْ تَفْتَهُ عَمَلَ الشَّيْطَانِ. When you start saying, if only this and if only that, if only I had done this and if only I had done that, then it would have been like this and it would have been like that. That isn't the case. That is not permissible to think in that way. If only I'd done this yesterday, if only I'd been 10 minutes earlier. That isn't correct. Somebody ends up crashing their car, and there's £1,000 of damage on it. They think to themselves, if only I'd taken that other route which I normally take. Why did I take the shortcut? If only I'd taken the other route. They start to think in this way. And who knows? Allahu Ta'ala A'lam. Maybe you, if you'd taken that other route, you would have been in a worse car crash and you died from it. Or you've been in a worse car crash and you have £2,000 of damage. How do you know if only you did that, it would have been a better end result? How do you know if only I'd done this, if only I'd done that, then it would have been like this and that? How do you know that? Maybe you did do that, what you were saying, if only I did that, and the outcome may have been worse. So you cannot open this door of whisperings, if only this, if only that. Rather, a person is patient upon the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's when the Prophet ﷺ then said that you should know, be aware, that victory comes with patience. The Shaykh says, Al-insanu yubtala fi hadhi al-hayat. The person is surely tested. You will be tested in this life. فَتَعْرِضُ لَهُ الْآلَامُ وَمَشَاقُ وَمَكَارِهُ. So difficulties, pains, hardships will overcome you in this world. لَكِنْ عَلَيْهِ بِالصَّبْرِ. But the person must be patient. لِأَنَّ الشَّدَائِدُ تَزُولُ وَلَا تَدُومُ. Because these difficulties, they will eventually come to an end. They do not persist forever. فَيُقَابِلُ الشَّدَائِدُ بِالصَّبْرِ عَلَيْهَا حَتَّى يُزِيلَهَا اللَّهُ عَنُهُ. So when these difficulties and hardships overcome you, then you are to behave with patience at those times. Return to Allah, seek the aid and assistance in Allah. Be patient at those times of difficulties until Allah removes that difficulty from you. وَلَا يَجْزَعْ وَلَا يَسْخَطْ. And you don't become depressed and sad and despondent. As for a person who becomes like that and he loses hope in Allah, then that is the type of person who does not really find that victory, does not find that way out, and he continues in that depression because he's lost his faith in terms of his hope in Allah, he's lost his patience, he's depressed. That isn't the way to behave. Rather to be patient and keep that trust in Allah and it will be removed. وَأَنَّ الْفَرَجَ مَعَ الْكَرْبِ. That the way out, the escape, it comes after the difficulty overcomes you. كُلَّمَا اشْتَدَّ الْكَرْبِ تَطَلَّعَ إِلَى الْفَرَجِ ذَلِكَ أَنَّ فَرَجَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ. So no matter how difficult the hardship comes, the more and more difficult it becomes, then you still see that route out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes that ease for you, that escape for you from that difficulty you may be facing, from that grief or the concern that may have overcome you. And this is similar to the ayah, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا, that indeed with difficulty comes ease. With difficulty comes ease. So if a person is patient at those times of difficulty, he remains firm upon his obedience and worship to Allah, continues with his dua and seeking aid and assistance in Allah, then that will be a means for that ease to come thereafter. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be in the aid of that person. فَدَلَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ الْإِنسَانِ يَنْبَغِي لَهُ أَلَّا يَضِيقَ بِهِ الْأَمْرُ أَبَدًا. This therefore, the Shaykh says, indicates that a person should never become depressed and allow the situation to eat him up. Never allow any situation or any incident or whatever has happened, any grief, any sadness. Do not allow that to eat you up. وَلَا يَقْنَطَ مِن رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ, and do not lose hope ever in the mercy of Allah. وَأَن يَتَوَقَّعَ الْخَيْرِ مِنَ اللَّهِ دَائِمًا وَأَبَدًا. But rather you keep your hope and your trust in Allah and always hope for that goodness to come even if difficulty currently surrounds you. وَلَيْسَ هُنَاكَ أَحَدٌ فِي هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا سَالِمٌ. And the Shaykh says, there's nobody in this world who is absolutely protected. You're never going to come across something which is a bit of a difficulty, something that worries you or concerns you. Nobody is like that. Everybody will have something at some point which concerns them, it worries them. لَا بُدَّ أَن يَحْصُلَ عَلَيْهِ شَيْءٌ مِّنَ الْبَلَىٰ. Every person will have some type of test that overcomes them. فَإِنَّ أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ بَلَاءَنَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلِ فَالْأَمْثَلِ. And that is shown in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said that the most tested of the people, the ones who are given the most tests, are the prophets themselves. They were the ones who faced those greatest tests. When their people, they fought against them and they persecuted them, they were the ones who faced the greatest of the tests. And then the people who follow in the footsteps of the prophets, they follow the Quran and the Sunnah and they cling to that. No doubt you will find hardship and difficulty comes your way. So a person must be patient in those times. فَإِنَّ النَّصْرَ مَعَ الصَّبْرِ وَالْفَرَجَ مَعَ الْكَرْبِ وَالْعُسْرِ يَصْبَرْ عَلَيْهِ بِانْتِظَارِ الْيُسْرِ مِنَ اللَّهِ. So the difficulty when it arises, you are patient, waiting for the ease to come from Allah. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. That whomsoever fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah will make a way out for you. So then the Shaykh says in conclusion, فَهَذَا حَدِيثٌ عَظِيمٌ وَوَصَايَ عَظِيمَةٌ وَصَّى بِهَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ سَلَّمَ الْأُمَّةِ بِوَاسِطَةِ هَذَا الْغُلَامِ الْمُبَارَكِ. So this is a great narration, a great hadith, and great advice from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that he advised this ummah with regards to this patience, with regards to knowing the decree of Allah, with regards to asking Allah, returning to Him and making dua to Him, and being connected to Allah and trusting in Him in all times. Times when you're at ease and relaxing, and at times of difficulty and hardship, waiting for that ease and escape to come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is the brief lecture that we intended to do today upon that hadith. That is one hadith from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is only one hadith. This is the knowledge now. Consider if you went over the several hadith, hundreds of hadith, thousands of hadith, looking at what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised us with. This is the knowledge. When you learn this knowledge, you learn the sunnah, then it changes your mind and you understand how to behave as a Muslim, how to make your heart content, and how to make your heart at ease, as opposed to the people who are out there daily, every day, their lives are in grief and in stress and their hearts are perturbed. They are in movement and shaking and they are never content and settled, because they have no knowledge of the Qur'an and the Sunnah. They have no knowledge of what the Prophet ﷺ has taught us to do and how to behave. So this is one hadith from that Sunnah. And inshaAllah ta'ala, in our weekly lessons here at 8 p.m, we go over the Sunnah in this way, reading different parts of the Sunnah, different parts of the Qur'an, what we have been taught in our religion, so that we are able to practice that in the better and proper manner. So that is where we'll conclude today. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. So next week is postponed, and in 2 weeks' time we're going to carry on again. It's a weekly lesson every Saturday 8 p.m. But next week there's a postponement. So in 2 weeks' time, inshallah, we'll carry on. And that will be regular again, weekly as it always is, inshallah ta'ala.